We gotta use the speaker.
Right. Welcome, everyone. We're going to begin. We're going to begin with introductions. I'm Tricia Letty, and I'm co-chair of this group.
And I'm Jeff Sussman. I'm your other co-chair. And for those of you who I haven't met formally before, I'm at the University of Cincinnati and the chair of family medicine there. And I guess we'll just go around the room like this.
Ashley?
I'm Ashley Morsell. I'm on the NQF staff.
Good morning. Ian Corbridge, also on the NQF staff, working on the project.
Good morning. I'm Ann Manton, and I'm a psychiatric mental health nurse practitioner at Cape Cod Hospital.
I'm Darcy Jaffe from Harborview Medical Center.
Joel Strim, I'm an internist and geriatric psychiatrist at University of Pennsylvania.
I'm Glenn Phillips. I'm a senior research scientist at Eli Lilly and Company.
And Luke Pelletier, administrative liaison at Sharp Mesa Vista Hospital.
Hi, Sheila Botts, University of Kentucky College of Pharmacy and clinical pharmacy specialist in the VA.
I'm Dan Coffer, behavioral and geriatric neurologist at UNC Chapel Hill.
Bill Golden, general internist, University of Arkansas, and medical director for policy at Arkansas Medicaid.
I'm Rich Goldberg, I'm a psychiatrist from the great state of Rhode Island, where Chris Letty's from, at Brown University, and the head of a mental health for a healthcare system, a regional healthcare system in Rhode Island.
Good morning, everyone. George Wan, Senior Director at Johnson & Johnson North America Pharmaceuticals.
Good morning, everybody. I'm Maureen Hennessy. I'm a psychologist and health coach, and I'm with Gardner Health Systems Trauma Support Network and the University of Missouri in Kansas City.
Good morning. I'm Bob Rocha. I'm a psychiatrist, and I'm also the Vice President of Medical Affairs at Shepherd Pratt in Baltimore.
Good morning. I'm Carol Wilkins. Excuse me. I'm a consultant. I do a lot of work on homelessness and mental health. And for a long time, I was the director of policy and research at the Corporation for Supportive Housing.
Even better. There you go, Katie.
Sorry, I'm late. I'm Katie Massel from Alzheimer's Association.
Good morning, everyone. I'm Reva Winkler. I welcome you all back to work with us here at NQF. I'm the program consultant, as I have been at NQF for the last 9 years.
Morning. I'm Heidi Bosley, Senior Director in Performance Measures at NQF.
Anybody down there want to introduce themselves?
Sarah Callahan,
NQF. Okay. And Nora Galbraith, National Council for Community Behavioral Health, representing the Community Mental Health Center.
Excellent.
It's a great group. We're very fortunate to have everybody here today. I believe at least one person might be joining us on the phone once they get that hooked up. Just to orient you where we are with the process, and then we'll turn it over to the NQF's staff. We had two goals with this project, one of which we're going to largely concentrate on today, which is the evaluation of these candidate measures and to decide which ones we're going to pass along through the process. The other that will, I think, come up as we go through this, and I know some of you are very interested in, are to identify gaps, to look at areas that we really should have measures, or there might be some outcomes that we aren't assessing, or measures that have not been submitted, to identify those gaps and to be able to document those. Reva's told us that we'll probably want to circle around back to that. So if we don't get to it, given the agenda that we have, don't worry. We are conscious that this is an important part of the process. But if you see gaps or issues as we have their discussions, I hope you'll let us know so we can keep that on the parking lot and make sure that that's clearly identified. Harold, do you want to introduce yourself, please, because we've got some new people. So I think Tricia and I will try to do our best to keep us on time. We certainly envision the first evaluation discussion of a measure that we undertake will be a little bit longer, but we will have to keep a pretty brisk pace. I also would suggest that if on further reflection we look at one of the candidate measures and decide really it isn't an outcome, but rather a process measure, that we deal with that up front, because that would be out of scope of the project and could save us some substantial time in not having to go through the whole process that's laid out before us if we can say right up front, this really is a process measure after all. With that, Tricia, do you want to...
I think that just following on what Jeff just said, which is if we do have process measures, we can, and we feel that it's the only measure that has to do with a certain subject, there isn't an outcome measure. I think that in putting aside the measure because it's process, it will give us potentially the opportunity and time to identify what measure, what outcome measure we would like to see, and therefore use the time to not feel bad about not having a measure in that area, because we can say, well, what really would be the outcome measure? And then as in the report, there will be not only the measures that we vote on, but also a portion of the report that will identify those specific gaps. So if we can get very specific about what we do want to see in an outcome measure in a certain area, then I think that will get us further get us eventually to the goal of having outcome measures in the areas we think are important, rather than feeling like we have to accept a process measure.
So I think without further ado, we'll turn it over to Reva. Harold, do you have a question?
One question. You said we'll get us further to, what's the pathway getting us further to? Is it because since we're not developing...
Right, it wouldn't be our group. You're absolutely right, Harold. So I'll throw that one to Reva.
Yeah.
And I can catch that one easily. Because it is a specific deliverable on this contract, and our contract is with the Department of Health and Human Services, they have indicated that it is their intent to take these recommendations and use the development resources within the Department of HHS to address those gaps. So that's why it's a particularly important and a very specific deliverable for this project.
Okay, so we should then really devote
right.
What we got is disappointing.
Right. Exactly. And I, you're not alone. Mental health is not the only sort of orphan child in this area. We've got several topic areas in the other parts of the project where there were no measures either, and there's certainly some large gaps. So we're the initial work that we're doing is looking at the measures we do have and evaluating them, because they have several months' worth of process to follow with public comment and voting and all of that. So we need to get them going on that track. But then we do want to put in some thoughtful time around what would be the desirable outcome measures that we didn't get, don't exist yet, need to be developed, and what would they look like, and to be as specific as possible. So we will need to continue working with you as time goes on, so we can develop that part of the project. But it's definitely a very important part of the project. So it's not an afterthought. It's not sort of a footnote. It really is one of the two main deliverables for this project.
So it also occurs to me that we should, as part of that discussion, we should revisit the ones that we're seeing as being out of scope or being too processy for ideas about
Correct.
Where we should go.
Yeah, I think that's what Tricia was saying, yeah.
What's going to be the process for that? Is that going to be, are we going to have specific time on the agenda today, or is that going to be a subsequent meeting?
I think that... It'll be a couple of things. Depending on how your meeting goes in terms of making progress on the agenda, if there is time, I think it would be worthwhile to begin to address that, but I envision it more as follow-up phone calls. Because we just need to get this work done and get it moving along, and then we can take the time to do some thoughtful addressing of the gaps.
And I think if something comes up,
yeah.
mention it. But
right.
we're not going to have time to fully work it during this process. Right. If we get way ahead.
We might actually have like a parking
lot. Exactly.
Exactly.
You got it.
Right.
Good.
Okay.
Bill.
Before we get into the individual measures, will we have some time this morning just to talk about some generic questions that the measure set raised?
Okay.
I think what I would suggest we do is first allow staff to give us a orientation, and then perhaps as we work through the first measure to talk about those generic issues, because if we have something specific before us, I think it will help us really focus some of the discussion around that. If we want to spend a few minutes up front talking about those, I think that's
fine. Yeah, I mean, I have a specific issue that applies to several of the measures that I'd like to discuss before we
sure.
discuss a measure.
All right.
Sure.
Okay. I think that just in terms of project status and where we are, just a couple of things. I know that there was a great deal of response to our notice of intent. Thank you to all of the work that you all did informing and notifying all of your contacts. Ian spent hours talking on the phone with all sorts of people who had been previously unfamiliar with NQF and now were aware of the work we were doing. So that was the first real, you know, significant work for you when you were, you know, A-plus on that. So we did get a lot of interest and a lot of new organizations that had not been involved. When it came to the actual submission, again, Ian fielded a lot of phone calls from people asking questions, and this issue of process versus outcome came up a lot. And so there was a certain amount of filtering that happened at that point because he would tell them we really want the outcome measures. But again, the actual formal submission process, which is not a trivial thing to do. Measure developers, you know, put the time and resources into submitting them. We still have some of the issues around process outcome. And on your phone call that we did, what, 3 weeks ago or so, you eliminated a few of those. That's a filtering process that just keeps to be ongoing. So we'll just have to address it as we go along. You have really gotten yourself into the meat of the work by your initial evaluation of the measures. It's very important in the evaluation of the measures that we use the measure evaluation criteria. We've given you all copies of it. That was one of the directives from the CSAC was be sure the steering committee members have it in their hand to refer to them instantly. So there you go. When we talk about the measures and their strengths and weaknesses, we really do want to couch them in terms of the criteria. It either does or doesn't meet the criteria. There's a problem with it because it doesn't, you know, address this or it's really great because it does do this. So the criteria really are the framework around the discussion that we'd like you to have. With the exception of importance to measure and report, there are no actual thresholds, all right? So you do have to all agree that it's important to measure and report, and if you say it's not, then that's it. We stop right there. We will need you to vote on your evaluation of each of the four main criteria, importance, scientific acceptability, usability, feasibility, for each of the measures. All right. We're trying to give a little bit of hard data on your assessment to the subsequent audiences that are going to be reviewing it during public comment, during voting for the CSAC and for our board of directors. So we're trying to capture those ratings in a way that helps underpin your ultimate recommendation. There's no numerical adding, subtracting. You know, you have to get a majority of them have to completely meet the criteria, or if you get half P's and, you know, half C's, that's a good. None of those, there's no magic formulas. There's no math to this. They should be the things you're thinking about and considering and balancing, realizing there will be trade-offs, because we have yet to see a perfect measure, okay? We just don't see them. And there isn't anything that completely meets all the criteria every time. There's some that have come close, but none that have hit them all. So it's a balancing act. But your rationale for recommending the measure should be supported by, you know, we feel it's very important. We feel the scientific acceptability is good enough. You know, we feel it is usable and provides meaningful information, and we believe it's feasible to do. You know, those are the kinds of reasoning, even though the actual sub-criteria may not be perfect for each measure. So I think you've all had experience doing the several measures that were assigned to you in your work groups. The purpose of that was to spread the work out. You've got, what, 18 measures? 17 measures. And asking each of you to be intimately involved with all 17 was overwhelming. So by breaking it up, we asked each work group to spend some time with a limited number of measures. As we go through these today, we'll expect that the members of the work group who are really familiar with the measure to kind of lead that discussion and help the rest of the group understand the strengths and weaknesses of the measures as we go through them, so that at the end of the day, the ratings and the recommendations reflect the input of everybody on the steering committee. So that's essentially what we're up to today. We're going to go measure by measure. We will help you through the first couple, and there's a learning curve, so it will take a little bit longer. But it's very important that we hear your issues. You all are here representing different stakeholder perspectives. There should be some disagreements among you. There should be different points of view, and we need to be sure that those are brought to the table and that everyone has a chance to speak them and have them heard. It's a fundamental part of NQF's consensus process, is to have all of that diversity of input. So that's the reason you're here. So we really do encourage everybody to speak up, and even if you're going to say something that disagrees with the rest of them, please do it. That's what you're here for. So I think in terms of background, that's kind of the summary of how we got here and what we're planning on doing today. And I think, does anyone have any questions? It's, you know.
I had a question about one of the criteria.
Mm-hmm.
Is that kind of
okay. Bill had a question. Let's see. We'll see in a minute. Bill, you had a question too?
Did you answer his issue?
Well, he was saying he wasn't sure it was the appropriate time to address it, is the issue. He had a question on one of the criteria. It may be better to address it as we go through a measure.
Okay. I was going to ask a question about scope.
Okay.
About measures in general. So.
Okay. Why don't we go?
Can we just hold on 1 second? We're actually trying to get the phone line hooked up.
So
if other members of the steering committee are on the phone, and so we just have to go through a process of talking with the actual operator. So if we could just table discussion for a second. And I guess while we're waiting for that, I'd just like to follow up. Once again, thank you, everyone, very much for all your participation so far and dedication to the project. A couple housekeeping issues. This is actually not NQF's workspace here. We're actually in a fellow, I guess, law firm here. So they requested, they're actually having some meetings today as well. And so they requested if any individuals do have to make a phone call or need to step out, if you actually need to make a phone call, if you can go down to the main lobby. They're just going to have people coming in and out here, and they'd like us to not be out in the lobby making phone calls. So that was just one thing. As indicated by other staff members, a couple members of the steering committee are unable to make it this morning. I know Dr. Thompson had some car issues, and Dr. Goprud had a previous appointment, so they should be coming later on today. Maybe once we get this phone line hooked up and answer some questions, we'll go over some of the documentation that you have in front of you, as well as what we're projecting up on the screen. So hold on just 1 second.
Did staff roll up the feedback from the survey?
Yeah,
I haven't. Ian, I've never been put on hold at a meeting. You're going to play music?
Yeah. I'm sorry. We're just trying to make sure, but I guess we're having some issues. So if you'd like to go ahead, Dr. Golden, and just ask your question, I'll see if we can get this issue with the phone figured out and go from there. So
whatever. A question for the staff in terms of just the measures themselves and where you go. You know, the unit of measure was sort of interesting. Is the NQF still using for outcomes and process decision-making or impact, the provider is the unit of measure or the community? Because some of these measures were starting to go toward community units of measure rather than provider units of measures. And I'm just curious where you all are.
Well, we're actually expanding. For traditionally, in the past, most of the measures that NQF has addressed and endorsed are focused on some level of provider, whether it's the hospital, the individual clinician, the group, the facility, whatever. However, one of the National Priorities Partnership goals and priority areas is around population health, and we have – and I guess, Bill, you weren't at the meeting. You were on the call. Bonnie Zell, who oversees our population health work here at NQF, is helping us move into that population realm. So the fact that some of the measures may be more appropriate for communities or a more population rather than provider-specific is something NQF is quite open to entertaining.
But it changes how you apply the criteria, so
yes.
That's what I was asking.
Yes.
And I guess the other follow-up a bit, I guess it's a other issue there, is when you talk about usability, some of these measures are valid, but they're useful in the process of care rather than evaluating the care, and I was just curious if you had thoughts on that as well. Because I think people are coming to you with tools to be used and endorsed as opposed to a measurement tool for the care itself.
Right. Well, I think underlying all of it, remember that NQF's role in all of the quality enterprise is we endorse measures for use primarily for accountability and public reporting. And so using the measure in that way and suitability for being used in that way is really embedded in many of the criteria and certainly the one on usability. So the 3A criteria on usability is it useful for a variety of stakeholders, you know, in terms of actionability, and is it usable, understandable, meaningful if it's used in public reporting? So that's really the kind of context you need to be thinking about these measures going forward.
Yeah, my only comment is on the usability statement in 3, it says likely to find them useful for decision-making, but it didn't put in there for public, for
right.
And
okay.
You need to maybe.
That's a good point.
Yeah.
I think, Bill, that sort of up front as the overlay is the public reporting part, but you're right. Embedding it specifically in the criteria statements would be a good idea.
So are there any other general questions? I think, Carol, you did have a question, comment.
No, essentially what we've done is taken the information submitted by the measure developer and embedded those in that form. Those are the unchangeable parts of the form. The areas that have the rating and there are blocks for TAP comments, if there is a TAP for a project or for the steering committee comments, those will be putting in your assessments. So this is a document that grows through the process. It starts with the information that's submitted, and then the evaluative elements are added to it as it goes forward through the process.
So if a measure developer is unfamiliar with NQF and is kind of clueless about what you're really going for, basically you're stuck with what they have, even though they might have had some better information, but they need to realize what they need.
We can certainly feed that back to the measure developers and make the suggestions, and we do have a mechanism by which they can edit it and change it or revise things and to change the information that's there in their portion of it.
Right, and I mean Ian spent some time doing that already. So if we saw a big section blank, so for example the testing pieces, the reliability, validity, he went back and had a conversation with them to make sure that indeed that does need to stay blank because they haven't done that, you know, done that testing. If it hasn't, that's where he's marked it as not tested.
Yeah, because one of the questions, two of the questions I had was, one was, does the absence of information in something indicate that there isn't any information,
right.
Or does they just didn't put it in?
Yeah.
And the second thing is, particularly with regard to the harmonization piece, how do they know what else is in NQF?
Well, I can answer your second question first, and that's NQF's website actually has a searchable database on it, and you can search and find out what measures NQF has endorsed. And that's an...
Right. Well, we
and then staff also does the backstop on that.
Diligence as well.
But
so we can assume.
So that does have editing by the staff.
So what we would do is have included it in a separate document or in some way indicated to you that there is a comparable measure.
Correct.
I don't think there was anything. Ian, can you clarify maybe?
If there are similar measures to the measure that was submitted to this project, it should be, I can't remember the actual page number, but it's the very end of the evaluation document. It indicates if there are similar measures, what those measures are, providing the NQF number and some specs for that.
Right. So we tried to do that work for you as well to help identify if they're similar.
Are there any other questions before we launch into the first measure? Ian, did you have anything else that you wanted to just...
All right. If there's no more questions, I guess we'll just go over some of the documentation that's in front of you, as well as some of the documentation that we're going to be projecting up on the screen. In front of you, you should have an agenda for the day, as well as a breakdown of the major evaluation work groups. Within that, it indicates what members of the steering committee were a part of that work group, as well as what measures with the title, as well as the NQF initial tag number with that measure. As we've already gone over, you do have a copy of NQF's measure evaluation criteria, so we just hope that you will be able to refer to that as we go through this process. And I'm sure you probably already had to use it. We provided you in digital format as you were reviewing these measures. Projected up on the screen, we'll be showing the, I guess, survey of the sub-criteria that members of the steering committee worked on. We tried to capture all the information that was submitted to us yesterday, and we'll be projecting that up on the screen, and hopefully that'll serve as just a platform to help facilitate the discussion and dialogue. And from that standpoint, we'll just kind of be able to dive deeper within each measure and work group. We also, I'm going to project a little bit later on, once we get to the point for the voting process, NQF, we're going to be capturing the votes for each measure. We'll be looking at issues of importance, scientific acceptability, usability, and feasibility. So those are the four main NQF evaluation criteria. And so we'll project that a little bit later on when we get to that point. For starting off each measure, I'm just going to open it up. I'll read off the number that measure we're going over as well as the title. I can do a brief description and numerator denominator statement if that would be helpful for members. And from that point, we'll really open it up to the work groups to really kind of head off and further dive into that discussion. We tried to seat each work group next to each other so there can be conversations and dialogue amongst each other and go from there. Are there any... No, not specifically breaking into work groups, but as we're talking, if you'd like to share some information, I just wanted to make sure that you were sitting next to each other if there was information you wanted to share or pass along to each other. Any additional questions regarding that process? Does that seem clear to everyone? Like it'll work?
Okay.
Heidi, is there any way that we can...
Do you need it bigger? I can make it bigger.
Yeah, I think it's...
I can do that.
And I don't know if you... this was...
Try 200.
We tried to have as quick a turnaround time as we could, so we got that, and I emailed this out to you, every member yesterday. And I do have some limited hard copies. Maybe I can pass this out to the back of the room. As it would, it is difficult to see back here.
It is better? Okay.
Can I have a hard copy?
No, you have to go back to where you were. Because you cut it.
Just for the first set, and I'll be back to you.
There you go.
That won't work.
All right, so I will pass these around. They're not stapled. Okay. All right, are there any additional questions before we begin looking at the first measure? And so as we go through the process, we'll, when we get to the measure, if the measure developer is on the line or is here in person, if they'd like to make just a brief presentation, just talk about the measure, the process, they're more than welcome to if that's what the steering committee would like, as well as later on throughout the process, if there are any questions from the steering committee members, please feel free to ask them at the measure developer through the dialogue or at the end if there are questions that are raised throughout. From that, if there are no more questions, I guess we can start moving forward and keep on time. I guess...
Ian, you're going to describe each measure
Correct.
First, right?
Yes.
Okay.
So we're going to go over each measure first. I'll just read a brief description of it, and we'll move forward from there. And I don't know if the representatives from Johns Hopkins University, are you on the line? I know they were hoping to make it, so it doesn't seem like we have any at this time. But so we'll just proceed forward with the measure that we have first on the agenda, and that is measure number 2, patient attitudes towards and ratings of care, depression. And so that was a brief title, just a brief description. And this is the information being projected on the screen for that measure. And that's the information from the sub-criteria. A brief description of the measure is developers employed a comprehensive patient-centered approach to develop an instrument to measure primary care patients' attitudes towards and ratings of care for depression. To help prioritize attitude are additional domains, including 126 items identified previously in focus groups. We ask patients to rate the importance of each aspect of depression of care on a 5-point scale. Items are ranked according to a mean score, and the percentage of patients are ranking the items as extremely important. The items were selected for inclusion in an instrument to measure patients' attitudes toward depression care based on the importance ratings. We performed reliability and validity testing on a scale compromising of 30 most important items and a shortened version that included 16 items. So they do go on further. Let me just read to you the numerator statement for that measure. So the numerator statement for this measure reads, patients in primary care settings who complete a depression screener, such as a patient health questionnaire, PHQ-9, and score greater than or equal to 5, indicating a mild or moderate depression. Additional targeted populations include primary care patients with clinically significant depressive symptoms, minor depression, dysrhythmia, major depressive disorders, and partial remission or mixed anxiety depressive conditions. The denominator statement for that measure reads, all primary care patients. So that's just an intro for that measure. That measure resided in Work Group 1. And members from Work Group 1, I'm sorry. Would you mind raising your hand? It's on the top of the slides, but just members from Work Group 1. All right, wonderful. So that's just a brief way to start off the measure. And we can look up on the screen the initial just results for the sub-criteria for the main evaluation criteria. Importance projected up there. And if the work group would like to add any insight on that.
Would we like to comment on whether this is... First, on whether this is enough toward an outcome measure to, or whether it's clearly process.
Correct.
At this
point. I think that'd be a wonderful idea.
Maybe yes. Would anyone in the work group like to comment on that?
I actually didn't see how it was a performance indicator at all. It's a research tool to assess patient outcomes, and it's towards depression care. And it wasn't clear to me how somebody would. What one would expect, to monitor or actually apply it in some way.
I think our summary says a lot. If you look at relation to outcomes, we scored it as 2 minimally, 1 not applicable, and 1 partially. And I thought it was an interesting measure. I thought out of my comfort zone and engagement had something to do with engaging the patient. I didn't see it as an outcome measure primarily, although it.
Well, if you recall, when we had our conversation in November, we discussed the wide variety of outcome measures and types of outcome measures. And you all spent a lot of time expanding those into fairly broad categories that did include patient experience with care, patient engagement, patient adherence, all of those sorts of things as a result. So you all, kind of defined outcomes that way. So the question is, does this fit?
Yeah, I didn't see how much of I can see how one could use it as an outcome measure, but it's as currently defined, it's not even a kind of measure of depression care. It's a measure of depression attitude.
Attitude supports care.
Yeah,
maybe engagement.
Well, but it's actually, so it's heterogeneous.
some ways, it's you
this
know,
wasn't
anyway,
a good
anyway,
one to start.
Yeah,
with.
I mean, my
one
sense
of the
was
more
that
complicated measures
yeah,
actually.
But my sense was it didn't meet the importance criteria.
So it looked to me, at least in the description from staff, that there were sort of two components to this. One was attitudes toward, and the other part was the perceptions of care itself.
Right.
And that to me is problematic because you're mixing an outcome and a process, essentially, or a attitude about their depression. So I'm just wondering whether this is even within scope, given that complexity. But I'd be interested in the folks who really spent a lot of time with this.
I have a question. Is it truly the mission of this group to look at measures dealing with patient engagement with care? Because if it is, this may partially address that, but as you pointed out, it looks like it's measuring two different variables, and so we can have some murkiness there. But is that permission?
In you all have defined outcomes to include patient experience with care as an outcome of healthcare delivery.
Which makes sense to me, but whether or not this is the measure for that because of skills.
That's the question on the table right now.
I think on the phone call, though, that's when you're referring to, Reva, where we were fairly broad.
No, not the phone call, your meeting.
In our meeting.
I think that the discussion on the phone call, at least, was that we wanted to be somewhat broad and inclusive if there was any question, because we didn't have a lot of detail about the measure, and that we would that would give us more things to consider at this meeting where we would be more strict. And
but I don't think it's necessarily just a measure of patient engagement, or because, for example, one of the items is faith in God will heal my depression. I'm not sure how that's related to sort of, you know, anything that you'd monitor for quality.
Yeah, I would. I don't think this is in our scope. I think if I were a provider, the information from this survey would help me understand the patient, but it's not going to make a lot of reflection on my management of the patient or assessment of how I manage the patient. So I'd recommend that this would not be considered.
Well, I don't know if you want to go further, whether our process will be, if it doesn't pass the first step, we don't have further discussion.
Correct.
It gets worse, honestly, yeah. In terms of usability and feasibility. Yeah. It only gets...
Okay.
Well, and also, just one other point here is that on the harmonization, just even though it's further, but it raises a sort of a broader issue about harmonization, is, you know, it wasn't mentioned that, and I'm not sure whether CAFS or ECHO sort of overlap with some of the elements of this as well. But it seems to me that, you know, at least of all the items that do relate to patient perceptions of care, you know, it would be useful to look at what the overlap was. And this, you know, I completely agree with everybody about not considering this further, but just as a process issue.
You know, I just wanted to just introduce, just looking at the measure evaluation criteria, I think on the second page it talks about these intermediate types of process outcome measures. And it seems like this would fit under the patient experience, which where it's talking about assessing the patient experience with healthcare outcomes and values. So the values piece will address that question of, you know, your faith in God and things like that.
But I think that the measure evaluation criteria is for all kinds of measures, not just outcomes. So this is a generic tool and could be used for other groups that are doing process measures as well as outcome, whereas where our assignment is to really stick to outcome measures. And I think the Donabedian definition that they gave us at the first meeting was really good. It says outcome refers to changes, either desirable or undesirable, in individuals and populations that are attributed to health care. And even down the paragraph, it says that outcome would be something that the patient is seeking care for, like improvement in function, that sort of thing. So if we stick to, I think that that's really what they want us to focus on as far as outcomes, because there are other groups that are going to be looking at process, I assume.
Comment on George's comment. The difference, I think, though, here is that on the values piece, I think that we often are assessing the respect of the values in the process of care rather than the values themselves. So this tool assesses what those values are as opposed to how the healthcare system dealt with those values. And I think that's a difference in terms of how the measures are for.
It would seem to me that feedback to this measure developer might be that there are indeed some important elements of the experience of care that perhaps a sub measures within this could be used as a valid measure of patient experience. But there are other elements that are clearly outside patient experience and led the committee to say this wasn't a useful outcome measure. But, you know, one could imagine many of these sub-elements they talk about, healthcare providers' interpersonal skills, their perception of treatment and effectiveness might be very important measures given our broad definition of outcomes. But the admixture of other things like intrinsic spirituality made us less excited about this measure.
But also, once you just, it's not designed to sort of pull out individual items.
I mean,
it's, you know, as sort of broad domain, as broad domains of potential interest, yes. But as a measure, no.
I agree.
So, is the next procedure that we vote, or have we achieved consensus, or what's the?
It's sounding like we do need to vote on the importance to measure and report, because if it doesn't pass, then we're done with this one. We can move on to the next one.
Is it a majority? How do you do it?
It's typically a majority.
Just a simple majority.
Correct. And I guess before we get to that vote, we do need to make sure we open up to public comment if there's anyone on the phone line or anyone here who would like to comment on the measure discussion at hand.
I
guess no response from the phone line. And so NQF staff, I don't know, Heidi, if you're able to
flip. I need to count.
You want the other measure voting tool?
There's just to show online up on the screen the measure voting tool. So this is what the staff have on their screens. So we're just going to capture throughout the process the information and dialogue that is discussed here as well as the votes for each. So we'll keep that. And so if on this measure, if we're just getting to importance, we'll just capture that measure or capture the importance vote and then say that it was tabled due to not meeting importance. So, yes?
Actually,
is this an issue of importance or scope?
Scope.
Well, the two kind of have not a sharp edge between them. You know, you can eliminate it on scope if you're saying that it's not an outcome measure. On the other hand, what I heard more was maybe it's within the scope of the mental health outcomes, but that this isn't a performance measure that's important to measure and report for public reporting that would provide meaningful information to audiences.
You know, my dilemma with this is that from an importance perspective, I do think in terms of patient engagement, attitudes are quite important. From what I'm hearing from this group that's really looked at this measure, though, it sounds like the psychometric properties of it are not well delineated. That's more the issue from my perspective.
No. It's that it doesn't measure performance. It's unclear whether doing something, what the result would be that would be a good result.
When
across
I look at
the
seven, there are seven main domains that these items cover, and I look at these, and these just strike me as being independent variables or potential covariates than they are as dependent variable or outcome measures.
Mm-hmm.
And almost a risk adjustment tool.
I'm wondering, in terms of the process, if this is, if we vote to not accept this, what happens to it? Because I think there's some good elements in it. So will there be feedback to the developer to maybe, it almost feels like they could create two tools from it, one just dealing with the outcomes and one dealing with the patient issues. And so I'm wondering if that's the kind of thing that happens if it's voted down, or is it just, sorry, but we're not accepting it?
No. Actually, two things happen. We do directly advise the measure developers of the feedback from the steering committee, but it's also your discussion is included in the report. And when the measures go out for public comment, the information is available, and we actually encourage people to comment on measures that were not recommended. So it does. There are opportunities for this to have an ongoing discussion about the, the usefulness of the measure or providing that feedback. So it doesn't just drop, no.
So is there a certain way that we can vote, or can we just entertain a motion from the work group that about this measure, and we'll all just vote on it?
I move that we not accept the measure.
No. Okay. Is that acceptable, Reva?
What I need is a vote from all of you to, does this meet the importance criteria, yes or no?
Okay. And the way I can say that is, if you look it out, the relationship to outcomes is so low that that is the important category in importance.
Okay.
So that's how important outcomes tied outcomes together. Right. So, on that basis, I would...
I am... Just a question, if I can get started. The question I had is on the importance measure. I just, when you're going through the criteria, I could not tell if the topic was the important issue or whether the measure, it was very uncertain to me as I was filling out the questionnaire.
That's a good point.
In this particular case, the importance is addressing the topic. All right? So is this an important topic to measure? Is this an important, is there a variation in care? Is this the topic that's being measured have relationship to outcomes? You start, when you move into the scientific acceptability criteria, is when you're talking about this measure specified with these numerical.
So what is the topic? Is the topic depression, or is the topic attitudes towards depression?
That's the question, I think, for you all to consider.
You know, when I look at the five domains that they measure, it's certainly important. I have more questions down the line than I do on whether or not this is important.
But aren't there seven domains?
Well, I'm reading over your short here. Like,
and again, Reva, for the process, are you going to have us vote on every one of these elements for this meeting, or can we just say this?
The four elements.
If so, you get by one.
But one is the entrance point to the rest, correct?
Right. Correct.
Threshold. Can I suggest perhaps a way to maybe handle these, because we're going to go through this on a lot of these, I think. So for the ones that truly would be a process measure, I think you should determine if they're in or out of scope. I'm probably going to say they're out of scope. You won't do any voting. They won't appear in a report. They won't go further. Any feedback will go back to the measure developer so that they know what you thought. That's it. But for the ones that fit within, and this one I would say kind of fits within looking at how you defined an outcome, didn't go far enough, and that's part of it, I would recommend we do have at least a vote on importance.
Yes.
Because then it goes out in the report, it's included in the final documents, and that information is put out to the public, and you can include research recommendations of where you think this measure didn't go, but we need to go next. But I think this one is one of those kind of squishy ones that it would be good to include out in the public, you know, out for public and member comment. Does that seem to make sense?
We still have a motion. Is this how you proceed? Or?
Well,
I don't know what rules you're following.
No.
I can withdraw the motion.
Yeah.
But does that seem, I'm asking her too, does that seem like a reasonable approach?
So it sounds like we have a choice of whether to vote on importance or determine it be in or out of scope.
I think that's...
So how about if would any of the work group members like to recommend one or the other that we consider, either... that we vote on determine first whether this is in or out of scope as an outcome measure.
One more question here, for Eva.
There is, under importance, you have three elements. There is no global vote on importance.
Yes.
So so you're asking us to vote on the global?
Yes.
That's what we'll be asking you to do.
Because you could have high... The impact could be high, but the other... Okay, I'm just...
So we have a measure here that because we've decided engagement was within scope, maybe within scope, but because of this particular measure's relation to outcomes is so low that its importance, its bundled score of importance, is going to be very low. So it's within scope, but of such low importance that we're not going to proceed to the additional measures.
Is that a motion?
I'd like.
As a general procedure, just to get us through all these measures we're reviewing, what I would like to propose is that we first consider the scope question on all of these as a first cut And then if it's within scope, then we look at importance to measure. And I think that might move it more quickly. With respect to this particular measure we're looking at, well, actually, maybe I'll come back to that. Harold, you had a comment about process.
I agree, but if we're going to do that, at least for my sake, I hate to be picky about this, we need to have a fairly specific definition of what scope is, and when we talk about measure focus, what that means that we're determining the importance of. I mean, is it the topic of depression, which is basically what the evidence that they've marshaled on, showing that depression's a big problem and that there's bad care? Or is it the focus being the measurement of attitudes and engagement of care as demonstrated by this measure?
Right. So if you look at the measure criteria, it says the extent to which the specific measure focus is important.
So what does measure focus mean?
So it would be the patient attitudes toward and ratings out. It gets down to that granularity.
Okay, so it's not depression.
It's not depression.
Okay, so that's helpful.
So it's getting at to the aspect of care which you're really trying to measure here. Is that important?
And the problem is that this is an and rather than an or. Patient engagement, yes. Attitudes towards, no.
I think another comment about scope as it relates to this particular measure, scope actually for outcome measures and really does depend on the goals of treatment. So when you're looking at the importance to measure an outcome, you have to have some sense of what the goal of that treatment is. Otherwise, you know, we don't know what we're talking about. So in this example, if let's say in the course of treatment for depression, perhaps, a patient has a change in their attitude and values treatment for depression more or less as a result of their own experience during the course of treatment. That is a kind of outcome. But we don't really, as a field, we don't have an established set of goals about whether we should be getting our patients to love treatment for depression or hate it. We do care about things like engagement. But I think the way this particular set of this measure with its 126 various, independent variables is not linked to a widely accepted goal of treatment, mental health treatment. And therefore, it may be interesting, but I'm not sure what healthcare consumers in general would say if they could vote on what kind of attitudinal changes we would hope for. That's kind of far afield of where we are with outcomes right now.
I have a question for the people who really served on the committee that looked at this. The measure says that they're looking at treatment effectiveness, treatment problems, patient understanding about treatment, healthcare providers' interpersonal skills. Do the developers demonstrate that there is evidence that what they're measuring has an impact on engagement and outcome?
No.
Thank you.
That's the problem. At least within here.
Okay.
I mean, under the criteria, if as a process, if it is linked to outcomes, then it's appropriate. But there's
thank
no
you.
Data here that...
Thank you. That's what I mean.
And just one final comment. If you look at the elements in the numerator, there are things like faith in God will heal my depression. Prayer alone can heal depression. Thanking God helps depression to get better. Asking God for forgiveness will help heal my depression. And while they may be important elements, they aren't outcomes. And I don't suspect that I can influence those effectively during the course of treatment. They're intrinsic spirituality elements. So for me, again, it gets back to the motion, I think, on the table here, which is we've got some elements of engagement which are very important, but we also have some intrinsic elements that I don't see directly related to outcomes. So I think we really should circle back to Richard's motion.
Heidi. The keeper of this.
So the motion, your motion
yes.
is to vote on importance, correct?
Yes.
So it's a yes-no vote. So how many
So essentially, we'll ask you, how many of you agree that it meets the importance criteria?
Okay.
Any abstentions?
Well, how many of you are there?
I don't know.
Talk about the denominator.
Is everybody here a voter?
12, 13,
other than staff.
Oh, okay, I didn't know that.
It's 18. 18?
Of them, yeah.
Okay,
so
18. And no one on the phone?
Dr. Thompson, are you joining us on the phone?
Is there a phone?
Okay.
Yes.
Okay, so we are done with our first measure. How long was that, Eric?
26.
Okay.
All right.
But you're setting
We need to be a little, we need, right. But we, Jeff,
is always the hardest.
Jeff did say the first would be a little long, just getting through the process. Okay.
Did Eric introduce himself to the, did he do the first time?
Yeah, did you introduce yourself the first time, Eric?
Les.
No.
Les for you.
We have some new attendees.
Oh, okay. Just arrived. Eric Opperud. I'm a research professor at George Washington University. Primarily work on substance abuse issues, though I've also done mental health performance measurement work, and just being an NQF, I have no conflicts to declare.
Thank you. So we're going to move on to our second measure to consider, and Ian is going to take us through the basics.
All right, thank you. So we're moving on to measure number 11. This was submitted by Minnesota Community Measurement, who the measure developers have actually joined us today. So we may want to open it up to them to see if they'd like to talk about the measures briefly, or at the end we can have the dialogue with the measure developers as well. So moving along to the measures presented up on the screen, measure number 11, depression remission at 12 months. So just a brief description of the measure. Adult patients age 18 and older with major depression or dysrhythmia and an initial PHQ-9 score less than 9 who demonstrate remission at 12 months defined as a PHQ-9 score less than 5. This measure applies to both patients with newly diagnosed and existing depression whose current PHQ-9 score indicates a need for treatment. The patient health questionnaire, PHQ-9 tool, is a widely accepted standardized tool. All rights reserved. Okay, this measure additionally promotes ongoing contact between the patient and provider as patients who do not have follow-up PHQ-9 scores at 12 months, plus or minus 30 days are also included in the denominator. So just a brief description of the numerator statement as reads, adults age 18 and older with a diagnosis of major depression, dysrhythmia, an initial PHQ-9 score greater than 9 who achieve remission at 12 months as demonstrated by 12 months plus minus 30 days, PHQ-9 score less than 5. The denominator statement reads adults age 18 and older with diagnosis of major depression or dysrhythmia, an initial PHQ-9 score greater than 9. That's just the initial specs from that measure, and that's once again in measure work group number 1.
So do we want to invite the measure developers to present before we consider?
Yes, if that's agreeable to the work group, if we'd like to just a brief, 5 minutes come up and present that, if that would help move the discussion forward.
Stand up.
All right.
She's mine.
Yeah.
This is probably
the
easiest.
Oh,
yeah. We
can
run it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yep. I'm going to. Oh. Well, good. Here. Sorry. But you're going to be facilitating someone.
No, they think there's only.
You're
good. Oh, okay. You're at NQF, right?
Yes. Okay. I thought you were Minnesota. Sorry.
Yes, Eric.
I wonder if maybe folks have come from Minnesota, so yeah, we want to say hi to them and
yep.
all of that. But I'm wondering if there are questions, it might make sense to ask them.
Absolutely.
Yeah, whereas I'm not sure that it may be in some ways the converse. I may be trying to read too much. Maybe the converse of the first measure,
in that there may not be a whole lot of question about it. And so if what they're doing in some ways, say, preaching to the choir, mm-hmm. it's wonderful to preach, but it may not be necessary. So I kind of don't want to take 15 minutes of our time going, having them present things where there really isn't a whole lot of controversy.
Right, that's a good point. And this is intended to be interactive, I think. So I
would kind of recommend that we at least have a preliminary discussion of the measure and decide if we really need a pitch on it.
Okay, how about if somebody,
And I think it's been run both ways at different steering committees, so it's really up to the judgment of what the steering committee as well as work group would like to see. So if we be more informative, as you, indicated, Dr. Kalperu, to have that discussion afterwards or ask questions as needed, then we can proceed with that, if that would be more helpful. Correct, yeah. If more clarification is needed at the end, then we can proceed that way.
I do have a question for them in the beginning. In the beginning, it said this measurement tool is widely accepted, quote-unquote. And so the question is, what does that mean, and